Tonight, I want us to consider this subject for our study tonight, the duty of self-denial. And for that, we turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. That we are beginning verse Luke 9, 23. And he said, that is Jesus, to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This saying of Jesus is the rule for all who will come to be his disciples. I'm sure we all know when Jesus Christ came, at first he made disciples and he told the disciples also to go out to make others disciples. And everyone who is a Christian is a disciple of Christ. And the disciples of Christ are those he has purchased, he has bought with his own blood, that are saved by his death upon the cross of Calvary. So whoever has put his faith in Christ and is saved by the death of Christ is a disciple of Christ. And that he also have anyone who is a disciple follows someone. I'm sure we are all aware. Even in this world, many people have people they follow. And it's very common nowadays. And so when you go to social media, people, many have 1,000 followers. I have 6,000. People pride themselves about it. So that's the idea that I want to bring to your mind. And even those Facebook and social media thing I'm talking about, when someone they are following does anything being foolish, people will support them and they try to applaud and all that. But let's look at this, the real part of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, what it means. Jesus also have principles and things he wants us to be if we are his disciple, except we are not. So none will be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ who will not deny himself. You must lose self to gain Christ. So that is what he said, that if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's an interesting thing. Last Saturday, that's what I thought it was. Self, the first enemy that Christian met after he was armed with his the special armory was self. And I was even asking the children who is every day were responding. And it's interesting to know that ourself, our first enemies we have to deal with before we can become true followers of Jesus Christ. And it's a hard thing also because we are ourselves. Okay, so how can I deny myself and be myself? But the scripture, the Bible teaches us what we have to deny about ourselves so that we can take up Christ and follow him. And as we read the verse, I will only consider the first part. I will not go to the and take up his cross daily and follow me. I will dwell on the deny, where it says, he said unto them, or if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Taking the cross, if I want to add it to go to another dimension, which maybe we can take some other time, but I want us tonight to consider the denying of ourselves as disciples of Christ. And years before, the times were when anyone who named the name of Christ, who would say, I'm a Christian, knew that they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with their affections and lust. Galatians 5:24. That anyone who named the name of a Christian knows this. But it's not common nowadays. I mean, we take the name Christian frivolously. We just take it, I'm a Christian, and that is it. No thoughts, nothing. Sadly, there are many today who name his name, yet are strangers to this doctrine, which the Lord has established. How is it strange that I want to follow somebody, and his first command to me, I don't know about, and I'm his follower. I can't be. Okay, because it's a command that Jesus Christ gave. That is for all believers, not for some and others who have to follow. But I dare say that such as will name his name and do not practice self-denial are none of his. Then it is just by word of mouth. You can never be him. You can never be his. If you name his name as Christ, as Christian, you will never take his command of self-denial serious and begin to practice it. You can never be his disciple. What is the mark of our new birth? To be born again, to deny ourselves a mark of our new birth. It's a fruit which must be born out of the new nature. You see, when we come to Christ, Christ gives us a new nature. I'm sure, I mean, those of us who have come to him, we are aware of this. So we have two natures in us. And always the Bible refers to our old nature, with the self I'm talking about as the old man, the flesh. Yet we are still who we are. Okay, so That's what I'm talking about. But this self-denial is not the fruit of the old nature. It's the fruit of the new nature we have in Christ. It is a strain to the mortal man. Anyone who has never come to Christ, who has never been born again, his spirit does not dwell, does not understand this. If the world frowns upon it, but to the saints, it is the partaking of the divine nature, enabling us to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. By practicing self-denial, we escape the corruption that is in the world. There's so much corruption in our world today, because even there's so many who call themselves Christians despite the practice of self-denial. Self-denial takes through all our aspects of every life. It goes the ways we say, where we have to go, and so many. It's something that we have to take it serious. It will affect every aspect of our lives. How can the new nature grow while worldly affection and lust are still dwelling place? The new nature does not feed on the old nature, the thing that the old nature, appreciates or likes. So how can it grow? How can I grow as a Christian? While I still dwell in my old state and I say I'm a Christian. It's not true. As Romans says, shall we continue in sin and grace my bound? He said no. So as the new nature has come, there's a new rule which must be followed. But still the old nature is there. So there will be a conflict. The real Christians are those who endeavor to constantly crucify their affections and lust, knowing that, as they said in Romans 6:3, that so many of us, as we were baptized into Christ, were baptized unto his death. The death of Christ represents the crucifixion of our old self, our old nature, so that he resurrected with newness of life. So to us, when he imparted unto us the new life, he came with a new ambitions, a new fruit. As in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit are so clearly made clear. But it is hard that many who call themselves will never consider that. They think that as I live my life anyhow, I'm still a Christian. No, there should be a fruit to be born. And that fruit can be born out of we deny ourselves of the old nature and its affections. Then the new nature takes up the new root. How is it like when we plant a seed on the ground? Except that seed dies, there will never be germination. So as the old seed is dying, then the new will not come as the seed itself. It will come as a new plant, with a new life and a new beginning. So in sincerity, we employ ourselves in conformity to the Lord. We undertake to follow him in denying to self as he, as our master, has shown us. How did Christ himself, when he was in heaven before he came, he had all the glory with the Father. In John chapter 7, when Christ was, we said that the Father should restore to him the glory that he had once with him before coming into this world. And that he had a glory and he left it up above. He denied himself of all the honors and all the worship of everything to come and be like us, so that he can die for us upon the cross. So it's the greatest of all denial of self, that he should come and bear our nature and to suffer and die for us. So he himself sets for us an example so that we can follow. Since there is not a complete victory yet, we have the flesh and the spirit within us. Fleshy affections and lust are still troubling, but they do not reign over us as to obey them in the last thereof. Yes, there are affections of the flesh which will still trouble us. There will be conflict because the spirit won't have its way, the flesh won't have its way, and there will be a conflict. But by the help of God, we are able to overcome ourselves, we are able to overcome the affection and the lust of the flesh, and the spirit will win. But when we depend on our flesh, as the Bible says, we quench the spirit, we grieve the spirit, and then the spirit cannot have its way. And then the new nature cannot even come. And then how is it that we can let it grow in us while we still follow the things that we had before? Such conflict in us will be with us, and the victory over the old nature, that is our flesh, the old man, in our current state is only through the continual practice of self-denial, as I've said before. While we hope for that day, while we practice self-denial, it's a battle we fight daily. It never ends till either Christ comes or we die out of this world. So with this, we hope for that day when this corruption, as Romans chapter 15 verse 54 says, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Until that day that this nature is totally changed by Christ, we shall still be in this flesh. And this conflict will continue, and we must use the command that Christ has told us, we have to deny ourselves. Except we deny ourselves, we can never fight this battle. We shall always be overcome by self, and self will be always the winner. Okay, so what is meant by self-denial? First, it is the mortification of the works of the flesh. And we'll look at it from Romans chapter 8, verse 13, from what we read. Verse 13, it says, from the first scripture we read, Romans chapter 13, 8 verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 13. And it says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. We will add Colossians 3 verse 5 to actually know what he's talking about, the deeds of the flesh. Colossians 3 verse 5. So you can cross through that. And it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And look at the verses, for whose sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. So now it has shown us what is the work of the flesh. There are many, but just an example that it gives here. So the first thing we do, if you remember, self-denial is to mortify the mortification of the works of the flesh. Because the old nature has the thing that it does already. It's a master of itself, and it's very powerful in that. The same person is not immune to fleshly lust, fleshly sins. When you are saved, when I'm saved, lust of the flesh is not out of the way. It will come. Lust and temptation to sin becomes our daily battle, which we must combat. And we must always prepare ourselves to face it, else we shall be taken in unawares. When we think that we have been born again, so then the temptation to sin will not come. Oh, there wouldn't be any battle that will come to my mind. No, it is going to come. But how are we going to handle it? We identify each fleshly weakness in us and eradicate it, starving the supply and emptying that which is within us already. So there are two things. You identify the new desires that will come, and the old sin nature that is there, you try to suppress it by the word of God that has come to us, by the power which is from on high. That power to suppress the old nature is not from us. It is given to us by the Holy Spirit. I'm sure you follow the account we read in Romans chapter 8, how the Spirit fights against the flesh, and they that will live in the Spirit, they are those who are the sons of God. And it's a power that is given to us by God through the Holy Spirit. There's a power which we have. So it is not done merely by our personal influence or power. It is done by the power that God gives us through the Holy Spirit. And how does he do that? Through the word. So the same person, when I'm saved, when I'm being born again, by reading the word and the Holy Spirit sending his influence, I'm able to grab the power that I'm able to use to starve the desires and the lust of the flesh that is working within me. Until I do that and I allow myself, I can never fight against the desires of the flesh. I have to stop it. Such power is granted to them that are of Christ. And it is given to Christians. So you see, an unsaved person can never know what it is to actually deny himself. He might try to stop some things. Okay, I won't do it because it's bad and bad. He doesn't really have even the power to overcome himself when he's tempted with it. In his heart, he might have been overcome. But then, outward, you might not see it. So, the saved have a power which is from God, and it enables us to suppress such the lust and affection which comes to our heart. And that in that we mortify, we put to death the works of the flesh by through that power. For the old strong man, that is our old flesh of the house, must be destroyed before the new can be installed. Jesus Christ says something in Mark chapter 3, verse 20. He said that no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. The strong man, our old self, is there already. It's like you go to a house, okay, and there's a tenant in the house already. How do you go there? Except he's taken out of the house. You can't inhabit the place. So our sinful nature is there, but the Spirit comes and he suppresses it. The power of the Spirit is so strong. And if you allow ourselves by the Spirit, The flesh cannot overcome us. We definitely have to overcome the flesh. And we suppress it by the power of the Spirit. So as he said, the old man of the house, though he's old and strong, there's power more stronger than the influence and affections of sin. The power that the Holy Spirit gives to us through the Word. So you have to eradicate it by the power of the new birth, which Christ gives us. It's a gift. It's a gift God gives us that we use to bear fruit. The ignorance and disobedience of our old man has helped us before to live all our lives under sin. It is true. We lived under sin before because, one, our ignorance and also our disobedience. Even when we have known the truth, because we were in sin, we can't even take it. We are still disobedient. And also ignorance. Sometimes we are not even aware we are being disobedient. So it has helped us to live under sin. And we're by nature servant of sin unto death, as Romans 6:20-20 says. By nature, all of us, by nature, we are sinners through and through. And the sin was to take us to death. Our flesh now should be as dead as to have no control over it. So now it should be opposite. When I come to Christ, it should be the opposite. I'm not going to serve sin again because the new nature has come. I must serve the new nature, which is of Christ, which is of righteousness, which is of God, which God accepts. So self-denial is not living an ascetic life. Some people have this concept that to deny myself, I have to live in, like, as in the years ago, they live in monasteries. And some have thought it to be as living in a monastic and secluded places and accustom themselves to a strict form of life. This manner, Muslims and other Eastern hidden religions like Hindus, Buddhists, and Baha'i faith, etc., they all do say to attain a higher form of spirituality, as they say. For Hindus and those Baha'i, they say for them to attain a higher spiritual being in their circles, they have to practice self-denial. They also practice self-denial in themselves. So they deprive themselves of everything. Sometimes they don't even eat. They will not wear. Some of them will even sleep on tongues. I mean, to help the body. Just they are denying themselves. This is not what we are talking about. It's not to live an ascetic life. No. The Christian convent and the monastery, which the Roman Catholics are, a place where they say the holy people are and they keep themselves and all that. It's in the heart. The Christian's monastery is in the heart, where sin dwells. We don't go to live in a place. Rather, our monastery, where it should be clean, is in the heart, where sin itself dwells. And the Christian monastery is carried along with him while he conducts his affairs in the midst of the world. We carry our holiness in our heart while we move to the world and do our business. We go to work, we go to school, but we might be holy. We don't need to seclude ourselves from society and say we want to be holy. No, that's not the Bible. Jesus Christ showed us that he came to live among us. He lived, and sometimes he was even called a friend of sinners and all that. He ate whatever, he moved among people, he converted with them, yet he was without sin. Such should be our attitude, and such should be our, it's not us as living an ascetic life. So we carried our holiness with that in our hearts. Then we conduct our affairs. Yeah, it does not exempt any from conversing with the world. If you want to deny ourselves, it does not, exempt us to have anything with the world. But while we converse with the world, we keep ourselves from evil in our own conversation. While we go to work, we do everything that everybody does to earn a living, we live in the house, we have family members who are not converted, we have so many things to do with them. But yet, we keep ourselves from evil in whatever we do with them, so that we don't trespass. And we can only do that by denying ourselves with the extremities of things that we will do, that will what? Put us in a way where we will be sinned against God. A monastic form of self-denial is hypocritical. It's a cover-up. It's like the Pharisees when Jesus Christ came. They were the religious figures. They seem, they obey all the commandments, and they fast, they tithe, they do everything, and yet the heart, as Jesus Christ told them, they're like what? A whited what? Sepulcher. Inside are full of what? Dead bones, but they made the outside white. That's how it is. When you want to practice self-denial, but you go the way that ascetics want to put it off. And it is lazy and unprofitable. It is a religious asylum where people are kept against their will, lest they break forth and do evil. It's like you keep people who are mad in asylum, because you know that when they go out to the world, they are going to hurt people. That's how monastic life is like. You keep them so that they don't converse with the world to keep themselves sinful. No, that's not how it is. If you keep people in asylum, because you don't want them to go and step in the world, it's the same thing. Like, it's like they are sinners, and if they go out, they'll go and sin. So let's keep them here, and let's strictly train them to be holy. That's not how to deny ourselves. We deny ourselves in the presence of evil. We deny ourselves when temptation comes. That's where we become what? Practicingness of what? Self-denial. Remember Jesus Christ when he was tempted by Satan. What did he do? He was hungry. What did he do? He said, man shall not live by bread alone. He denied himself of all the attractions Satan brought to him. He brought him up and he said, look at the word of Torah, all the word, I will give it to you. And by the word of God, he denied him. Several times. It's an example for us. So we deny ourselves. And you see, the devil goes and come back again. It's the same thing with us. One thought comes to our mind and we pray, God delivers. And another thing also comes. One, maybe it will be about money. It will go. Another, it will come in the form of maybe pride. And Satan knows our weakness and what each one of us, what we are weaker, and he will bring it to us. And it's only when we deny ourselves of the interest in all those things, then we will be able to really stand as spiritual people. And the kind of ascetic life, what it does is elevate human pride and deny the very power God through the Holy Spirit supplied to believers, arming us to overcome the world stronghold of sin. You see, when they practice that kind of self-denial, they are a master of themselves. They don't know any power, but Christians have a power that gives them that strong influence over sin. They have a power from the new birth, which gives them the strong weapons that they can fight against whatever comes to their way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of our strongholds. Strongholds of sin. We have the supply from God, and to give us to deny ourselves of the very sin that what will have tempt us. As you are daily tempted by what you see, what you hear, and what you feel. However, he that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you, says Romans 8 verse 11. Yes, we are faced with so many evils around, but the power that raised up Jesus Christ in us, it is able to help us to deny ourselves in the presence of such evils. So it's not of us. If it were to be of us, we are filled like anybody. But to be able to deny ourselves because God gives that power. So Jesus Christ gave that command, not vaguely, that just come and follow me and deny yourself. Whoever becomes obedient to that command, he gives him power so that he's able to follow him. So we don't come to follow Jesus by our own power. He gives us power too. But those who will doubt him and will be fearful, the power will not be theirs. So that we are able to deny the strong attraction and affection that accompany this temptation. So the mortification of fleshly works and the desire by self-denial is accompanied by the power that God supplies to us. So we have that power with us. So second, let's see what another thing it is to deny ourselves. And it is living a contented life, a life with contentment. And we turn to Philippians 4 verse 11. And Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whosoever state I am, therewith to be content. I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. To live in a contentment is to live in a state of denying oneself of profusion or extravagance of life. When one lives in contentment, he denies himself of the extravagance of life. And as the old man is accustomed to the extravagance of life, the wastefulness of the world system, innate promotion of love and acquisition of wealth, there should be a constant exercise in contentment in life of every believer daily. What does the word say? Grab more. I mean, there's so many. I mean, do more. You can grab more. You can claim more. But what does the Bible teach us? Whatever God has given us, we should be content with. And how can we keep ourselves from the extravagance that the world gives us? It's only by practicing self-denial, so that we become content with what we have as God supplies, and we don't, with evil eyes, go far beyond what God has not given us. And many of us, even in Ghana, in our country, especially young, everybody is trying to, I want to have this. Especially in Accra, we have issue with accommodation. I have to build by all means, and in whatever means, I have to build. And then you see people cutting corners and all that, God says they want to grab. No, to the Christian, we wait on the Lord. We deny ourselves of that, we suffer for some time, and God in his own time will supply us what we have to have. so that we can continue. Apostle said that I have learned. I've learned, which is the current is learned. In whatever state I am, there will to be content. What is it? Indeed, it's something that must be learned. To be content in life, you have to learn it. You have to learn as a Christian. It needs constant practice to achieve. And Paul lived by example. If you read the Bible, he gives a lot of examples of how even in want, he will say that he's satisfied. When he's in distress, he said that I'm happy in Christ. So to be living a contented life is to deny ourselves of not going beyond what God gives you. Life, like the weather, changes as it pleases. I'm sure we are all aware. There are times of plenty and there are times of deprivation. So the practice of self-denial in times of plenty will prove useful in times of adversity. When there are a lot of plenty, even when it comes to our way, we're able to deny ourselves of not abusing it. When there's time of depravity, when there's time of adversity, we're able to keep ourselves. So to be content is to live in a life where God pleases. So when we exercise restraint in not abusing the use of our early possessions, deny ourselves of the affections which some have towards such things, but rather finding all our satisfaction in Christ. This is what? To be content. That is knowing that a man's life consisted not in abundance of the thing which he possesses. Being content is this, to know that our life itself does not depend on what we have. So, the extravagance of life, no. I'll be content with what comes my way, what the Lord has given. Even when I have abundance, I don't misuse them. So that in a time of adversity, in a time when there's scarcity, I will be still who I am. Okay, somebody gave me some money. Enough money to let me do everything that I want. As a Christian, what do I do? And before then, I was living a meager, income and all that. As a Christian, what do I do? I should have to live in a way that still I still live. Because maybe I'm not even in want of anything. I don't have to let the huge amount that have begun to influence me to begin to live a different way of life. Everybody was saying, why are you and all that, those kind of things? No, it's what the world does. Years ago, when people go to abroad, when you can call them burger, now the people go, it's common purpose to go, so it's not a common thing again. And everyone wants to say, you want to show off. Even if he has nothing, want to show that I've come. And that's the world is thinking. And even many Christians are practicing such things today. When there's more money coming, more income, then I have to show off. Everybody to see that, yes, I am who I am. No. And even in times of plenty, we still be content with all the state that God has given us. And when it is gone, we shall still be who we are. And we will not be troubled with even losing them, because we still want to maintain where we are. So then we shall be able to stand as in a time of deprivation, even when it is scared of, and that in that condition, we find our contentment in Christ. When we don't put our satisfaction in the plenty of things that comes in our way, even when we have plenty, and still we maintain our satisfaction in Christ, in terms of difficulties, we still maintain our satisfaction in Christ. We will not go and look over. We will still maintain our position with Him. But when we leave Christ in terms of plenty, and we put our heart on it, on the good of the plenty that comes in our way, when it is gone, we can never find Christ. Christ will not be with us. So when we are content, that's the fruit of it. Whether in plenty or in scarcity, our love and our affections will be found in Christ. It is often sad to hear some Christians say these things. I cannot live in such a place. I cannot do without owning this or that thing. I'm tired of always having to do with this thing or having to maybe eat this particular food all the time. It's very strange to hear. This thought should not be of those that becomes of Christ. For he was content to be deprived, as I said, of his own glory. Example, look at the Israelites when they were in the wilderness. They were hungry. God gave them manna. They ate it for a while. I'm sure God was still giving them other things to support. He just wanted them to see what they would do. And they are tired of the manna. And they want something. He gave them fish. You see, until you have this self-denial that whatever God brings your way, you are contented with, you always find fault with God. And they always fight with God. They were always having issue with God. Look at Jesus Christ, what he said in Luke chapter 9, verse 58. And Jesus said unto them, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. Christ is the creator of the universe. Why, when he came to this earth, he didn't, put up the biggest mansion to live in, so that you see that I am the Lord of the world. I'm the King of Kings. Look at how people, when they have, when you say about kingdoms, and how every kingdom tries to build very, magnificent buildings, okay? Now they won't go to Dubai, but they are rich. They're putting up so much huge, now the whole world, they have the biggest buildings now, because they have the money. That's what the world does. But look at Jesus Christ, the owner of everything in this world. When he came to this world, he deprived himself of even his permanent accommodation because of us. So, it's a form of practicing self-denial. He denied himself of such things so that he can procure to us the salvation that is required of Jesus, of God for us. The death upon the cross. If you have come to live profusely and extravagantly, his work that was supposed to do, he wouldn't have accomplished. Because his work required that he denied himself of the glory and of even possessing things in the world, because he wasn't of this world. So are we. We have our contentment in Christ, and whatever he brings on our way, we take it, and we deny ourselves of going to look for what he has not even given us, because we are pilgrims. We are passing through this world, and whatever even he gives us, we may even die and leave them there, and what will become of it? But we always want to look for more than what he has given us. So Christ said that what? The Son of Man. Foxes that have created, they even have holes that they live in. Men have place they stay, but the Son of Man don't have any place to lay his permanent accommodation. Let me tell you a story of a missionary. I read it from a story book compiled by one Bell M. Brand. It's called 50 Missionary Stories. And it's a small little stories about missionary work that they did. There were these two people, Mr. and Mrs. Young. They were missionaries to the Cree Indians or something years ago. It was those times there wasn't much modernization, even how to transport things and all that. So it was a remote area. And when they went there, there wasn't any food there. Those Indians were living only on fish. But these people were not used to living on fish. But they were Christians, and they have to do the work. And what do you know what they did? And quite a better story. What happened is that in the morning, when they come for their breakfast, it's fish and tea. In the afternoon, when they come for their lunch, it's fish and maybe a drink. In the evening, when they have to have their dinner, it's fish and some tea. For 6 months, every day. So do you know what they did? They devised that they will not eat in the morning, in the afternoon. So that when they come back in the evening, they will have an appetite to eat one meal. So they are able to live on that fish for 6 months without, though sometimes they feel they had a better food to eat, but it didn't actually let them lose the appetite. But when they were eating it continuously, they were losing appetite. So they said that sometimes they will come and sit on the breakfast table, they will just drink their tea and discuss about what they want to do for the day, and they will part. They were missionaries. They were reaching out to the Indians and preaching the gospel. And look at the state they were. And even with that, their dogs also have to live on the same fish. And even with that, I think the fish have to come in a particular season. We have to store them in the ice so that they even take from that. That was life they lived. They lived for over 6 months before I think they can go beyond there to have other supplies. And that's how they lived. And do you know what the man said? He said that salvation itself is a gift from God. If they couldn't starve themselves morning and afternoon, they couldn't have food to eat, because they can't eat at all. But when they starve themselves, it gives them appetite to have a meal for a day, to keep them for 6 months. So you see, practicing self-denial in every aspect of our life is very important. So that even starvation, as you and I might say that, it's a punishment, it's a gift from God. So you see how it is. So practicing self-denial is very important to us. So we say, why must I practice, why self must be denied? The question we ask and see how it is. Self must be denied because it opposes everything God commands. That's the first thing. That's why the first enemy to deal with before we can have anything to do with God. It opposes everything God commands. It competes with God, and the very instrument Satan uses to make us dishonor God. It's ourself. It's very interesting that displeasing God doesn't come from, sometimes it comes from outside influence, but the first displeasing will come from self. Look at Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. What happened? Eve saw the fruit and the devil convinced her, and she also lusted after it. And it was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes, for self. So she took it and gave it to the husband. And that's what has brought us today. Because they love to please themselves with what the eyes could see. It is the idol of the soul and of the world. It is the soil from which pride emanates and grows. It's a soil. It's like you have a plant. You see, every plant will grow on a fruit forming on a fertile soil. So pride grows on that soil. It gives human self to grow, because it doesn't have anything to do with God. And it will not come under the submission of God. So firstly, let's see what it is. Self must be denied as it stands in contradiction of the truth of the gospel. Anyone who comes face to face with the gospel will never think of anything of it. First is self. And I will tell you, while the gospel of grace is only effectual through faith for justification, self will make reliance on works. How many have you met on the street? Christ is the only way. Christ came to offer salvation. But they will say, but is it or I should just believe it? Self is saying no, you have to do something. Self is calling for work salvation, while Christ and his God who says what? Believe on me. So self is working against me coming to Christ through the gospel. Self's inability to discern the truth of God's saving grace is obvious in that it is carnal. Because if ever self is our judge, then we are doomed. That's why it is necessary to come to Christ, to have him as your savior, so that the Spirit will come to guide you. If our judge is a self, we are doomed. Because self will never do anything for us which will have any divine influence. It will always do things that will take us down to our death. In Romans chapter 8, verse 7, as we read before, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. The carnal mind, the fleshly mind, that's why it opposes the gospel. That is why it must be denied. So anyone who comes to Christ, who comes to him that he be saved, have first denied himself, have derailed himself, any good that he has, any fame, anything that he can depend on himself on. If he dispels himself of all this, then he can come to Christ. If you retain any little of self, Christ can never come into your heart. He might be given the 100% lordship. So it judges things naturally. Therefore, you must deny yourself in this enemy. It is an enemy. Self is an enemy. It's an enemy that might be destroyed in us, and it will finally be destroyed when Christ comes or we die out of this world. Until then, it is enemy that you live with. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The truth of God are discerned spiritually, as we learned in the morning. It comes through the gospel light, the light the Holy Spirit sent to us. How can that natural man understand and even obey and do it? He can't. It is so heavy, it is divine. And until we deny self, we can never come to know anything about God and anything about spirituality. Those that are unable to grab the truth of the gospel are those who are full of themselves. Self is their God and master. It dictates their states and will definitely give 1,000 reasons why you should not remain a servant. Self will give so many excuses why you should be a servant and not go to Christ. It will bring so many arguments to mind. It will impress you of the liberties it offers you and scandalize the true freedom the gospel brings you. Yes, it will tell you, you can do everything when you are still me. Why do you want to go and put yourself under Christ? Why do you want to have another Lord? For me, when you do anything, I don't say anything. Just enjoy life. That's all it is. As it is said this day, life must be enjoyed. It might be denied as it stands against Christ and his lordship. That the gospel offers. Proud self is offended when the incarnation, the gracious condescension, the wretched and the despised life and the shameful death of Christ is proclaimed that he has to take such a low and humiliating life in our place. When self thinks on this, like, as I told you yesterday, a young guy we met is a Muslim. He said, why, I mean, somebody should come and die for me. Why? It's not necessary. If I've sinned, why should somebody come and die for me? I mean, I have to bear my punishment. That's what, and can he even bear it? Christ, I mean, so when he hears Christ was born of a virgin, Christ is holy, he can't take it. Because self will tell, no, it's not possible. He was a human like me, how can he be holy? So these are some of the arguments. You say what? If Christ had anything, why was he wretched? I mean, if he has something to offer, it should be something from someone who is prominent. So self will give all these arguments. So many people who bring so many arguments that Christ is not God, and Christ, I mean, the gospel is not true, it's a fallacy and all that, it's all of self. Any argument anyone will make against the gospel and the truth of gospel, it comes from self. Because it cannot actually come under the rulership of the truth of God. So it's an enemy you have to eradicate as you become God's children. As you see many today who scorn, are they saying that it is a cake? Isn't also it is incompatible, it's not compatible with modern humanistic society that promotes self-actualization. I'm sure some of us are aware of the term self-actualization. And it says this: you need only to accept who you are and then take the necessary steps to becoming the best version of you that you can be. So you are the Lord of yourself. Just realize you, oh yes, okay, I've done wrong, but I can do better. Just promote yourself, and by that you're able to apply, I mean, you become better, like as the Hindus and others teach in their distance. We can become a better higher beings. We can attain some kind of what? Righteousness by our own. And that's what will give us more joy in this world. And you know, this idea have crept into many churches today. And polishing it with some verses with scripture. Many false teachers and pastors are strongly teaching it as if it's from scripture. Don't you hear from many inspirational preachers? You are the head, you are not the tail. And you are good. I mean, God didn't create you bad. I mean, they say that Christ came to restore to us the glory that Adam and Eve had, so that you have command, you have that power to control everything around you. So why are you coming to stay in your corner to say, oh, I'm a Christian, but I don't have any power? There's power in you. That's what they will say. What? Ignite the power in you. Activate it, and it will work for you. That's self-actualization in the church. See, that's self. Tell you can. You are a better person. You can do something better. That's what they are saying. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, the second part of 3-4, it says, "But after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their eyes, ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." These are fables. Self-actualization gospel people preach, and they have so many terms to say. It's fables. It doesn't make any sense in the face of the truth of the word of God. It doesn't make any sense. But it makes sense to those who have 18 years, who want to hear. It's not interesting that the true churches are always filled with few people. And people want the troop to go and hear this kind of self-actualization doctrines and gospel people preach. You are better. Or you are sin. I heard a preacher once say that sin, don't say that you have sinned. It's an error you have done. You can correct it and be a better person. And this man is a popular man people listening to. It's an error. Sin is not, it's an error. You see, telling you that you are better, you can correct this and be a better person, and that is all. You don't need any, and in that, they are telling you, you don't need any God. Why do I need God if I can be a better person? There's no God. So self must be denied, else it complies with such ideas as it comes of the enemies of Christ to the denial of the gospel. Such ideas come from the enemies of Christ, and it comes to us so that we can deny the very truth that can give us eternal life. Secondly, self must be denied because it produces fear against suffering in us. I'm sure we are aware that to become a Christian, suffering of affliction is part of our calling. Okay, but look at how self will make you. Make you believe that they are unbearable. They will tell you suffering are unbearable. No, you deserve better. You are a Christian. If you are serving God, why do you have to suffer? I tell you, it will be difficult for you to forsake all worldly pleasures, reputation, riches, wisdom, relations, and influence for the sake of Christ. Self will tell you that. That why do you have to deny yourself of the worldly music and entertainment? I mean, it makes cool. I mean, when you are tired and the work of the day, just relax and listen to some worldly music. It will relax the body. That's what self will tell you. What a reputation. Oh, if you come to Christ, or if you really commit yourself to the ways of God, you cannot become, a pompous person again. You have to submit, you have to go out even to preach to people on the street. People have to maybe insult you, people have to, say so many bad, you are better, but you don't have to do that. Self will tell you, you are honorable, as they say. Keep your stand, never go far. Don't worry yourself, you'll be suffering. And the riches, you will not be able to do connection again. Now, when the connection, because you want to follow Christ, you cannot be lying around so that you cover up riches. So, some will be thinking, hey, I'll be losing all this. And then, I'll be losing a lot. And also the worldly wisdom. You cannot apply all the worldly wisdom you have acquired. It will tell you. You have educated yourself so much. You have learned so many things, which are in contradiction to the word of God. If you come to know the truth and commit yourself to the gospel, such things will have been thrown away. It will be a waste. And it will tell you, you have wasted your life. So self will not allow you. And relations. Oh, you have connections. You have greater family members and you have the powerful men. And you know maybe some of them are in dubious means and all that. You cannot relate to them again. So when you are in trouble, you cannot even run to them. Because they don't live godly. And you have to rebuke them. They will never like you. So self will tell you, you are going to suffer. Who will help you? And the influence. You will never have any influence on any person again. Because you have to come to under the influence of Christ. And to challenge you with the sufferings of deprivation of worldly possession in the cause of Christ. They will tell you, when you come to Christ, you can never put your eyes on any worldly thing. And this, how do you live with? You live with possessions. So if I have nothing, how can I live? It will let you be fearful. Such was the case of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 21, and another verse, it says that Jesus Christ told him, go and sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Deny yourself and come and follow me. And he says, look at his reaction. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowing, for he had great possession. Do you know what he thought? Oh, all that I have gotten, Christ, I should let them go and I'll come and follow him. What will I be? I should be a wretch. Christ himself said that foxes have holes and they have a place to lay their head. There's someone that I don't have. So, I wouldn't even have a place to lay my head. That's what self will tell you. But it's not true. God takes care of his people. God gives us what is needful for us. God will never let us be. Yes, times of hardship will come. But it takes care, he provides for us. But self will let you think that, it is so dangerous even to come to Christ. Don't worry at all. It's like, think the pilgrim progress. When Timorous and Mistras, they say, don't venture, the lions are there. If you move a step, they will grind you up. But Christian, what did he do? When he got closer, the watchful came and signaled him. They are changed. But Mistras and Timorous, they never go closer to see even if they are really changed. They are lions to run away. So that's what it will tell you. They're suffering to be a Christian. You have to be obedient to Christ. When you don't have to cheat. And you are going to suffer. You don't have to lie. So they're suffering. The young ruler could not take it to follow Christ, for he realized it to mean, as I said, empty himself of the affection to his wealth. The love that he had for the world. I'm sure he might have thought within himself, what will become of me, as I said, the wretchedness. Then self will interrupt in his mind. To be a life of suffering. And you deserve better than that. You are a rich man. After all your accomplishment, you need nothing. What is left is to enjoy the life and let life have its way. So he went away sorrowing to keep what he has so that he cannot come to Christ. Suffering afflictions are the lot of Christians. It is part of our calling. And in 1 Peter 2, 21, 24, let's read this. 1 Peter 2, 21. To 24. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins on his own body on the tree, that we might be dead to sin, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by the whose stripes we are healed. But the first thing is, it says that therein too we are called, telling us of the suffering of Christ. He suffered for us, and we are called to suffer for his sake. It's part of our calling. And until we deny ourselves of ourselves, you can never grab that the suffering of Christ is for our good. Self will give you 1,000 excuses. No form of affection is desirable by self. Okay? It will always complain, excuse, and cover up, and at last try to find some alternative solution to ease it, thereby making you withdraw from responsibilities, to care less, to be indifferent, and to be self-concerned at the expense of your spiritual duty. That's my different form. When self, even in the life of a Christian, if self takes lead, this is what happened. You draw from responsibility that you're supposed to do for Christ. You care less. You become indifferent and self-concerned. Everything, you are concerned with yourself and your interest. And at the expense of your spiritual duty, that it must be performed for Christ. Self will tell you, it's enough. You have done a lot. Relax. Why still? Christ says what? You should still go on. Whatever duty I do for the work of Christ in the church, wherever I find, the example I gave you, those two missionaries, if they had listened to self, they would never have survived to do what they were supposed to do. They deprived themselves of daily twice meal so that they could live with one meal for 6 months to do the work that God intended them to do. If they had left there, they would have gone. Who have done the work of Christ at that place? But they denied themselves of that privilege, and then they starved themselves for the sake of Christ. So, we might not be missionaries going to such areas. If you read the missionary story, how many of them have denied themselves of many things? I read of a missionary who went to one of the countries in East Africa, and he wanted to find a word for salvation. It took him 2 years, because the native language, it was difficult for him to get the word for salvation. So he was so overburdened, and every day trying to find a word. But he has to wait, and he has to stay with the people. And he can't preach to them. He can say everything, but he can't tell them Christ came to save them, because he can't get the word. And look, one day, one of them was narrating a story how one of them, helped to save a missionary from a lion. And he used that, and he saved him from the lion, and he got the word. He has to deny himself and stay there to wait for just the word, salvation. And then he got the word, and he was able to tell them the gospel, to tell them Christ came. He said, and that he has interpreted a lot of the words into, but just to get the word salvation for 2 years. So he has to, self might be denied, and it's a suffering, being there for just a word. Look, think how it will be, every day. You can't preach the gospel, you are there for 2 years. Our suffering of affliction abound on our way of duty. We might deny ourselves so we can bear what the Lord brings on our way, so that the glory will be of Christ and not of us. The apostle said in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. When flesh is weak, then the spirit becomes stronger. When we think we can't do anything, when we trust in Christ, he uplifts us, and self is put down, then the work is done. Time is already gone. if I can mention this thing. Some aspects of life where self might be denied. I'll just mention them in some of the verses. We can just write them down. Then I'll come to the end of my lesson today. Self-conceit might be denied. Self-conceit. Luke chapter 18, 11 to 12. And Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5. Self-denial against ease, idleness, and worldly peace. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 4. 1 Timothy 5:13. 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 chapter 3, 11 to 12. Judges 18:17. Deuteronomy 12:29-18-20. Idle and worldly talk might be denied as Christians. There's a command for us, 2 Timothy 2:16 and 1 Timothy 4:17. Idle talk, vain talk must be denied. Vain and sinful company must be denied. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 9-11, Ephesians 5, verse 11. And there are so many areas that might be denied, even worldly songs, world entertainment, and so many, even in breast, there are so many areas that we can't go, the time is already gone. But what we have learned so far is this. If we practice self-denial, there's nothing that God brings in our way, we can't take it. And there's no work God wants us to do, we can't do it. But if we love ourselves, there will be a thousand reasons to even the least work or the least thing we have to do to excuse ourselves. And then self will have its way and the work of Christ will never be done. Yet we are disciples of Christ. And Christ said that if anyone will come after me, and I quote it, Luke 9:23, and he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. So that's the command from Christ. And as Christians and as disciples, this should be our byword, that we follow him, and that we deny ourselves for his glory and for his sake. Let's pray together. O Lord, God of ages, and God who made us, God who made the rolling spheres and time and space, we thank thee for such a marvelous work from thee. We pray that our heart will be sublime, will be consumed with what we have felt. Lord, in any area of our life where we lack to deny ourselves, O Lord, help us to see it, even through thy word, to apply them so that, Lord, we be more useful for thee. O Lord, how can we be sanctified when love of sin and love of self is the highest? Oh Lord, help us. For thou knowest in the world that we live today, everything is self, me and myself, and my glory, my honor, my reputation, my possessions. Oh Lord, help us so that we will put all our satisfaction in Christ, that you have peace which Christ offers to us. So that either in a time of plenty or in a time of deprivation, our joy and all our all will be in thee. So help us in our weaknesses, help us in our sicknesses, help us, O Father, in our troubles, so that, Lord, we can be able to stand and stand to follow thee and be thy faithful disciple, so that thy work which you've committed unto us will be done, and be done for your glory and for your honor. So be with us, O Lord, and help us to do these things. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen.
Amen.
Well, last thing, we stand to 7:29.